call the president. President, we need the National Guard. We need as many men as you can spare, because we are killing the Patriots. So call the dogs off. Send the National Guard, please. They need emergency help.
That ball hit hard. Stretch. Austin Jackson back looks up. You can put it on the board. Yes. Back to back, Jack. And it is 4-1.
On that ball. Jackson has it. The All-American tight end is going in. And Oklahoma takes the lead on a 71-yard touchdown play.
I was going to rip his heart out. I'm the most brutal and vicious and most ruthless champion there's ever been. There's no one can stop me. Lynx is a conqueror. No, I'm Alexander. He's no Alexander. I'm the best ever. There's never been anybody ruthless. I'm Sonny Liston. I'm Jack Dempsey. There's no one like me. I'm from there.
Yo. Podcast, which is the realest and the blackest sports podcast you have ever heard in your entire life, coming straight from the south, going down. It's your homeboy Joseph Ward. This is Audio Shop Talk right in your ear hole, and we give it to you how it's supposed to be given to you, unfiltered, real ass sports talk, the way black folks talk about it when we round ourselves. I'm just putting it on wax. Going down. This is season three. This is the debut of season three. One, two, three. Oh, three of y'all. And we back in the saddle. We're going to bring y'all this sports news the way it's supposed to be, bro. We ain't taking no shots, no losses. We ain't cutting no corners. Man, it feel good to be back up in here doing this fix, talking about this sports, catching y'all up. A lot of stuff happened while I was gone. I was on a little vacay. A lot of stuff happened. I know I finished writing On the Shoulders of Giants Volume 3, Central South America, so that's done. It's being edited now, so that's going to come out soon. Finished writing that. Got a couple other podcasts developed and ready to go. Free to Train Network, www.freetotrainradio.com is growing. Got a chance to do some rest. Do some resting, didn't go nowhere. I was kind of lame and didn't really do too much, but here we are. I'm back and we're doing it how we do it, man. I appreciate all the love, everybody, for checking out the Fix, tuning in with the Fix, staying down with the Fix, with the Freedom Train Network as a whole, and just holding us down, showing us some love. We love y'all too. Of course, you know the Fix Sports Podcast is brought to you by On the Shoulders of Giants, which brings African history at your fingertips and on the go. Do the On the Shoulders of Giants book series, the blog series, the YouTube channel, the African History Curriculum app, nonprofit organization, as well as lectures, classes, keynote speaking engagements, whatever you need, whether it's digital or in person, On the Shoulders of Giants got you. All you got to do is visit www.ontheshouldersone.com for all of your African history inquiries. Yeah, yep. Feel good. We back. Homies don't know how to act. We're Matt VIP off in the back. All right, so today, September 10th, on the Fix Sports Podcast, what we got going on. So our HBCU spotlight, guess who's going there? Guess. North Carolina A&T. They beat East Carolina University in their season opener, which is an FCS team defeating an FBS team. So, you know, that happened. No evidence was found in the case, in the domestic violence case against LaShawn McCoy. Give you some information about that. Deborah Van Buren has been charged in the Larry Nassar case. So I'll tell you who she is, who she worked for, and why she was charged. Young lady Naomi Osaka wins her first Grand Slam title, and she won it over Serena Williams, which was a controversial win because a point was taken away from Serena for some things that she felt like shouldn't have been taken away from her. And that's in the wake of Serena's cat suit being banned by white folk in tennis. So we're going to get into that. Colin Kaepernick is the new face of Nike. We'll talk about that. Off-topic shit is European museums say they will start to loan back the stolen artifacts that they stole from Africa. So I'm going to get into that. Give you a little college football update, or the first 2 weeks of college football. Give you a mini NFL update, just more so talk about the Falcons and the Eagles game. I'll give you a full update of week one NFL on Friday's show, so stay tuned for that. Talk about the Raiders trading Khalil Mack to the Chicago Bears, which was a dumbass move. United States gymnast Ali Raisman calls out U.S. Gymnastics for a controversial hire. Talk about that in the weekly rant. This happened while I was gone, so, but I still got to talk about it, though. The white dude shot up a Madden tournament in Jacksonville, Florida, so he made my weekly rant. And FSU fans who already turning on head coach Willie Taggart, especially with that loss against Virginia Tech and then the not-so-great win for FSU over Samford. But all you motherfuckers calling for the man to lose his job already going off on y'all bitches. So let's take it from the top in our HBCU spotlight. As you know, North Carolina A&T Aggies. Hey, man, I don't be making this shit up. I don't be looking for North Carolina A&T. I don't be trying to, if anything, I'm trying to find stuff on FAMU. But North Carolina A&T just live, man. They just be balling. So that's why we all will be up. So North Carolina A&T, their backup Khalil Carter threw two touchdown passes in the fourth quarter. Teandre Abram intercepted the pass in the end zone as time expired, and North Carolina A&T upset East Carolina 28-23 last Sunday for its 14th straight victory. And apparently it's its third straight victory against an FBS opponent. Third in a row. I think I read that earlier, so I hope I didn't just read wrong. So the game was postponed Saturday because of lightning delays, so they played on Sunday. Defending MEAC champion North Carolina A&T, they beat FBS. They're right. They beat an FBS program for the third straight season. East Carolina lost their season opening home game to an FCS team for a second straight year, falling to James Madison in 2017. East Carolina University started to drive at North Carolina A&T 27th with 4 minutes and 10 seconds left in the game, but went 4-and-out after electing not to go for a field goal. Pirates got the ball back with 2 minutes and 7 seconds remaining, and it's 37 with no timeouts and drove down the field, but wasted too much time before being forced into a Hail Mary play. Carter was 7-for-9 for 93 yards and 2 scores for North Carolina A&T, who beat FCS Power Jacksonville State last week. Carter connected with Zachary Lindsay for a one-handed catch in the corner of the end zone to give North Carolina A&T a 21-24 quarter lead. His first since 7-3, Elijah Bell caught a short pass, broke a tackle, ran for 17-yard score for a 28-23 lead, and it was over. East Carolina, they failed. They lost to North Carolina A&T. North Carolina A&T starting the season off right like they're supposed to, and they look to wreck shop in the MEAC once again, in the FCS ranks once again, because they beat their this week's opponent as well, and so they're 2-0. They're 2-0, and they're looking to bulldoze their way through the MEAC. But that damn, and whatever they got going on at A&T, man, everybody else needs to take notice, because A&T doing it how it's supposed to be done, and they just whooping ass. They getting talent, they're recruiting, all that stuff. So, for my world, your world, little man in the red shirt, thanks. North Carolina A&T, here you go. So, man, it's just live as hell. It's like, they just keep winning. Like, especially in the football, but North Carolina A&T, they just keep winning and just keep winning and winning and winning and winning. Like I said, I won't be trying to put them in my HBCU spotlight. They just end up in the spotlight because they be winning. They be balling. Now, what was crazy, though, I was like, man, it'll be, I thought, well, let me not say I thought, because it wasn't an original thought, but I was watching, like, you know, the pregame shows before the football game start. And no, A&T was predicted to beat East Carolina by the white folk. And so I paid attention to the game, and lo and behold, A&T beat East Carolina. But they beat an FBS team for the third straight year to start their season off. Because, you know, usually that's a money game. But A&T say, bitch, we good, too. So, what it said, that 14th straight win? Wow. There it is, man. There it is. One time for North Carolina, A&T. They're doing what they supposed to do. All right, let's keep this thing moving. I remember I told y'all I would keep you updated what was going on with the LaShawn McCoy case, and time has passed. And I actually was just, I just learned about this story earlier today. So that's why I want to go ahead and get it to you. So the report is LaShawn McCoy unlikely to be charged or suspended in domestic violence case. Buffalo Bills running back LaShawn McCoy is not expected to be charged or face punishment from the NFL for allegations of domestic violence. NFL Network's Ian Rappaport reported police in Milton, Georgia do not believe there's enough evidence to move forward with the criminal charge, with a formal charge. The NFL is not expected to punish McCoy either, despite his personal conduct policy not requiring a charge or a conviction, which is bullshit. Delicia Cordon, McCoy's ex-girlfriend, accused the running back of being behind an alleged robbery and assault earlier this year. She told a 911 dispatch a masked person came to her home. McCoy was attempting to evict her from an attempt to steal jewelry McCoy previously brought for her. My boyfriend, who I feel like did this, who set me up, is going to see us on camera outside. Cordon said on the recording, per Tom Lee of Deadspin, I really feel like because we're breaking up and he wants all his jewelry back, oh my God. Police records show there are multiple calls for domestic disturbance to the home involving Cordon and McCoy. None of the events resulted in charges. Cordon filed a lawsuit against in August claiming McCoy abused his son and his dog during their time together. McCoy has denied all the allegations against him. The two settled an eviction lawsuit in August that allowed Cordon access to the property she was staying in to retrieve some personal items. Now, even though LaShawn McCoy himself personally is not charged in this, somebody came in that house and beat that young lady up. So this shit is not over. And we just don't have evidence to show that LaShawn McCoy was linked to it. But what we do know is somebody snuck in that house and beat that young lady up, pistol whipped that young lady, messed her face up. Somebody got to pay for that shit. Somebody got to get their ass whooped for that. Somebody did some fucked up shit. Somebody did something wrong. And we can't just let it slide. We can't just throw this under the rug and throw this away as if, oh man, well, you know, LaShawn McCoy ain't do it, so fuck it, it's over. Nah, somebody was behind that. Somebody need to ass whoop. Somebody need to be put in jail. Somebody need to be charged. You can't go around beating up people. You can't go around pistol whipping people and robbing people. LaShawn McCoy may or may not have had anything to do with it. If it comes to light that LaShawn McCoy actually has something to do with it, I'm going to be the first one to call his fuck ass out for doing that, if he did it. But some dude did this. We need to find out who this dude is and fuck him up. That needs to happen. But for right now, we don't have enough evidence to say LaShawn McCoy did anything. So he's still getting side-eyed, but we can't pinpoint. So we don't really know everything that's going on, and that, to me, is an issue because I like to know. But I did want to give you all the update so far that LaShawn McCoy, as of right now, won't be charged because there's no evidence to link him to the domestic violence case with his girlfriend. So, or his ex-girlfriend, rather. All right. But that's a sad story. That's a crazy, sad. There's some bitch ass men. I just want to say this real quick. It's some bitch ass men out here, and I blame both of your parents. I blame your father and your mother. I blame all the adults in your life, men and women. There's some bitch ass dudes out here. And there's a lot of y'all women out here teaching these dudes how to be fuck boys, too. You're teaching these dudes how to be fuck boys, and you're teaching your daughters to embrace fuck boys. So that's why I keep running to these young girls who keep telling me that they can't distinguish between a nice dude and a fuck boy. Hey, baseline. A dude should not get your attention just because he's nice. Being nice is the same thing as him taking a bath. Bitch, you're supposed to be nice, just like you're supposed to take a bath. So being nice, you're supposed to do that. That's no reason to give somebody your phone number or give somebody no coochie because they was nice. Fuck that. Who? You're supposed to be nice. Be consistent with your actions. I just want to drop that on real quick. I'm not trying to get too caught up, but it's just, I just be thinking about all these fuck boys that be riding around and these girls who don't know the difference between fuck boys, and then the parents who created these fuck boys, the mother and the father, most likely the father ain't around because the father a fuck boy, and so the mother, since she attract fuck boys, she teach her son how to be a fuck boy, and she teach her daughter to go after fuck boys. Or even if the father is in the house, the father's still a fuck boy. So that's how the kids learn. So we need to stop all this culture of fuck boyness. And women need to stop embracing the culture of these dumbass women. Men need to stop passing down fuck boy shit, and women need to stop embracing dumbass shit on both sides. Everybody's at fault. All right, so Deborah Van Buren. Her ass getting arrested in the Larry Nassar case. So trainer who worked with Nassar arrested at Texas Airport, Deborah Van Buren. Let's talk about her ass. Authorities in Texas have arrested a former sports medicine trainer charged in connection to Larry Nassar. The former sports doctor who admitted to molesting gymnasts for years, his bitch ass. The Walker County District Attorney's Office says Deborah Van Horn. I'm calling Lady Deborah Van Buren. My bad. Deborah Van Horn. Deborah Van Horn was detained Thursday morning by Homeland Security officials at a Houston airport as she exited a flight from China. She tried to go to China to get away. Deborah Van Horn, not Van Buren, but Van Horn. A grand jury has indicted Van Horn on a single count of second-degree sexual assault of a child. Walker County District Attorney David Weeks previously reported Van Horn, who worked for USA Gymnastics for 30 years, was charged as acting as a party with an assault. The District Attorney's Office says her first court appearance is set up for September 24th. She has been booked into the Walker County Jail. Nassar was sentenced in Michigan earlier this year to decades in prison. So, and this is last time I was talking to y'all, this is what I was talking about. Deborah Van Horn has been charged because she was an accomplice. She's one of the many people. Some more motherfuckers got to get charged. Some more motherfuckers got to get charged because she was one of the many people who were accomplices in helping Nassar carry this shit on for like 20 years. You don't get to be successful like that and some shit like this without motherfuckers being complicit. A lot of people helped in this. A lot of people. And this shit need to come to light. We need to find out who all was a part of that. Every person who was a part of it need to go down and be fucked up, because that's not cool. It's like, all right, well, we know he a bitch boy, but still, you know, we're going to create an atmosphere that's cool for him to molest young girls, old girls, just women, period. Anybody who got a vagina, or anybody who Nassar feel like he want to molest, then let's go ahead and create that atmosphere so Nassar can molest these people. It's like, man, that's some straight fuck shit, man. It's some straight bullshit. I keep telling y'all, man, the culture of sexual violence is so persistent in America because everybody is complicit within it. Everybody. Right? Except the ones who realize what's going on and make those specific changes, behavior changes within their life. But for the most part, I know I've unconsciously been complicit in it. I have in the past. But once I learned what was going on, though, I made those changes. But the culture of sexual and domestic violence don't just exist because it exists mainly in part to people keeping the culture alive, sweeping shit up under the rug. Oh, well, let's not blow the cover because we want you to make it to the Olympics, man. Some of these parents, and this is my opinion, I believe some of these parents knew and they didn't give a fuck because they wanted their daughters to be Olympic champions. Fuck the Olympics. Fuck flipping. Fuck gymnastics. Fuck all that shit. That shit ain't worth my child having trauma from molestation. Fuck flipping. It's just gymnastics. Shit ain't important. If you boil these shits down to what's really important, what's not important, gymnastics will never make the list of importance. It won't. It's not important. Black girls can be inspired by black women on a regular basis. Matter of fact, black girls can be inspired by black women if the black women in their community who are doing great things go into the community and show the black girls. Same thing with black boys. They don't have to be inspired by no motherfucking athletes. All these people in your damn community, the motherfucker next door should be inspiring you. The motherfucker in your house should be inspiring you. But you got to turn to a motherfucker on TV to inspire you because people in our community too fucking selfish and lazy to be a force in their own community. I'm not saying I'm the greatest, but hell, I just taken the shit that I know and gone into the community and done as much as I can. So if I can do it, you can do it. I'm glad Van Horn is arrested, and I hope Van Horn get her ass beat. I hope Big Susie up in the pen, ready to beat the shit out of her ass. I do. All right, let's move on. Let's move on. So Serena Williams, Naomi Osaka. Before I get to the actual match, I want to talk about the cat suit controversy. I forgot the U.S. Open, one of the tournaments, one of the U.S. Open, because that's what she just played in, but one of the tournaments, the last tournament Serena played in, they banned the cat suit. They said the cat suit was basically, you can't be showing all your black girl body in the cat suit, basically. Even though you could be a white girl and run around with your ass hanging out in the bottom of those tennis skirts, you can't be a black girl and have everything covered up in a fitted cat suit because you're thick. One thing I don't understand about Serena Williams is white America keep giving Serena the ass to kiss, and she still married a white man. I just don't understand that. That's her business at the end of the day. It don't affect me, but it's just one thing I think about. Like, damn, Serena, you... White America, every time they get a chance to fuck you over, they do. And you still married a white man. That ain't my business. That ain't my business. But they banned the cat suit, so Serena has to wear she's wearing a different outfit. Right now she's wearing a black tutu. Tutu really ain't that live, but still. They basically banned the cat suit because she was looking thick in the cat suit, basically. No shorts, no losses. Serena was looking thick in the cat suit, so they basically banned the cat suit because she was making the white girls look bad, and I guess somebody said something, somebody had a problem with it, so that's why the cat suit is gone. So that led to Serena wearing what she wears now, which is the tutu, like I said. But Saturday, Serena Williams faced Naomi Osaka in the U.S. Open final, and Osaka won, but it was controversy that went along with it. So let's read. Serena Williams had a shot to make history on Saturday at the U.S. Open. Instead, her shot at a record time 24th Grand Slam title ended in controversy, with Naomi Osaka taking home the first major victory of her pro career while the crowd at Arthur Ashe Stadium in New York booed. Osaka took down Williams 6-2, 6-4 to claim a historic victory of her own, becoming the first. Okay, they have her the first Japanese woman. Okay, Osaka was born in Japan but has lived in America her whole life. So she was Japanese born. But make no mistake, Naomi Osaka, her dad is Haitian and her mother is Japanese. So she's Japanese by nationality. But by race, she's mixed black and Japanese. The girl black. She looked black. And Naomi has to go out of her way to remind people that her father is Haitian. She's black and Japanese. She's half black. Her daddy is Haitian. So she's the first woman who was born in Japan to win the Grand Slam title. But she's a black girl. All right. But this certainly isn't the way Osaka wanted to beat her idol, right? The match ended in controversy and boos thanks to violations leveled by the chair umpire during the second set. Osaka got off to a commanding start in the first set, then prevailed in what turned out to be a stunning second set. As Serena was attempting to play herself back to the mat, she was warned because the coach was allegedly making hand signals, which is a code violation. Williams was upset by the violation, claiming that her coach was simply giving her a thumbs up and demanding an apology from chair umpire Carlos Ramos. "You owe me an apology. I've never cheated in my life. I have a daughter, and I stand for what's right for her," Williams told Ramos on court. "I don't cheat to win. I'd rather lose." You know, Buddy took a point, and Ramos took a point away from that. Williams remained upset and later smashed her racket on the court, which resulted in another violation, this time resulting in a point penalty. The penalty made 36-year-old Williams even more angry, leading to her further chastising Ramos, including calling him a thief. Eventually, a full-game penalty was leveled against Williams for berating an official. She didn't, like Serena said, she didn't say anything. Nobody should say it to the officials before, and points weren't taken away. Yeah. Several U.S. Open officials eventually came onto the court to talk to Williams, try to calm her down. After several minutes of discussion, cooler heads prevailed, and the match resumed. Shortly after, Williams surrendered in the second set, and the match went to Osaka. The match was followed by a very awkward, very surreal ceremony that featured both competitors looking solemn and upset. Williams attempted to downplay the controversy and console Osaka, who has long called Serena her idol, but the crowd booed in protest of officiating during the match. Yeah. Serena, I thought Serena did a pretty good job of not trying to steal Osaka's light, even though the commentators kept saying that Serena's actions would steal the spotlight from Osaka. But I thought what would steal the spotlight from Osaka is the fucking commentators keep talking about that shit. Talk about Osaka winning. But Serena went through the controversy with the people, with the judge and all that shit there, and it did take some of the steam out. But Osaka gets her first Grand Slam victory. Serena Williams comes close to tying the record, but she doesn't. Osaka is the first person who was born in Japan, but she's black. She's Haitian and Japanese. Her daddy Haitian, her mama Japanese. Say it again. Her daddy Haitian, her mama Japanese. So she gets her first Grand Slam title, and she beats Serena Williams, who is her idol. So that's what happened. That's how it happened. I don't know, man. This was a bad way to get the victory. This is a bad way for that to happen. Of course, we know if Serena was a dude, let's just be real. If Serena was a dude, that shit wouldn't happen like that. Let's just be real. If Serena was a dude, that shit wouldn't happen like that. It would have been a bit different if Serena was a dude. But Serena is a woman and a black woman, so they do tee off on Serena. But that's why I be so confused as to why they be so forgiving and loving to white people. Like, white people fuck them over, Serena especially. White people fuck her over every chance they get. They do. But she still got love in her heart for white folk. That I don't get. Me, I understand how white supremacy works, but that's just me, you know. That's just me. But Serena did get fucked over in that. I don't think that would have helped her win this match, though. I will say that. I'm going to go on record to still say, if that point wasn't taken away, I still don't think Serena would have beat Osaka. I just don't think it was Serena's day. Serena isn't all the way back, but the live thing about Serena not even being all the way back is she's still better than 97% of the field, right? Osaka, yesterday was Osaka's day. Osaka got the victory. Serena didn't. Even though a whole point was taken away, it shouldn't have been taken away. It was taken away, but I still, from what I was watching, Osaka still would have took that. Osaka was just on her game that day, and Serena wasn't. So that's the controversy. But white people stay fucking Serena over, but she's still like white people. So I don't know. That's what happened. Shout out to Osaka. So I want to give Naomi Osaka a round of applause. Man in the shirt, where you at? Man in the shirt. Go ahead and get ready for Naomi Osaka in the first round. I'm going to play my harmonica. Add my harmonica to season 3. Me and my own horn. So one time for Naomi and Osaka. I feel bad for Serena, but I still do think Serena would have lost that match overall to Naomi and Osaka. So, yeah. Now, check this out. Colin Kaepernick is the new face of Nike, and white people are mad. Buford, what you got to say? I hate Nike. Man, damn, I hate Nike. I hate Nike. I ain't swooshing shit no more. For siding with Colin Kaepernick, who doesn't like America. Colin Kaepernick, you can tell him Buford said it. I don't like Colin Kaepernick because he ain't no real American. Real Americans don't fuck over the flag. Real Americans don't take shots at our veterans and our military. Even though I myself don't do a damn thing for veterans, I myself have never fought. I myself have never really done anything for America, period, really. But still, I'm white. And being that I'm white, that means I'm right. So whatever you say bounces off of me and sticks to you because you're good. I'm rubber and I'm white. So I don't like Nike because they like Colin Kaepernick. They going to make him the face of their new ad, 30th anniversary of Nike. And you going to put that charlatan as your damn face? I'm going to burn every pair of Nikes that I brought. Even though it don't really hurt you, because I've already brought it. But still, I'm going to burn them symbolically, to let you know white power still roots. White power still roots. White power still roots. I don't care about no Nike. Saucony's are going to be the official shoe of white supremacy. Not Nike no more. No, not no more. Nikes used to be the official shoe of white supremacy, but now it's Saucony's. Why? Because Saucony's sound white. It sounds like some white supremacy shit, Saucony. God damn it. And I don't really know why, but damn it, it ain't Nike. Damn Colin Kaepernick. us white people really don't have a real reason to be mad, but our job is to maintain white supremacy. So we're going to do that. We're going to do it. We're going to do it. And that's all I got to say about that. Get me off this dang grown Negro show. All right, fuck you, Buford. So Nike has made Colin Kaepernick the face of its 30th anniversary ad. And the meme or the thing that says, believe in something, even if it means sacrificing everything. I got a lot to say about this. Nike, y'all full of shit. Nike found a way to profit off of black people's plight and are exploiting the hell out of it using Colin Kaepernick. Yes, I said it. Nike is exploiting the hell out of black plight using Colin Kaepernick. I said it. We're happy Cap is getting his money, but not at the expense of the rest of the community. Now, Colin Kaepernick getting this spot is a personal win for him, but it's not a win for black America. It's not a win for the black community, because still to this day, 9-10-2018, black America is still not safer. Nowhere near anywhere safer now than we were when Chap began this protest. We're talking about the plight of black people against the police even less now than we did when Chap first started his protest. So NFL cornerback, Washington Redskins cornerback Josh Norman was criticized heavily by saying that that Kaepernick wasn't organized, and Kaepernick and Malcolm Jenkins and them and this whole movement wasn't organized. But he shouldn't have been criticized for it, because it's the truth. One thing I do hate about our community is we hate the truth. We hate the damn truth. This movement was not organized. That's why we are where we are. It wasn't. That's why you had Cap doing his thing, had Malcolm Jenkins and them doing that thing, had Eric Reed and all them other cats breaking away from Malcolm Jenkins and they're doing that thing. Because Shannon Sharp said something I agreed with. Malcolm Jenkins is seen as the Dr. King, and Colin Kaepernick is seen as the Malcolm X. But that's not good for Malcolm Jenkins, though. Because Dr. King was so complicit with white America that it didn't help black America in the beginning. It wasn't helping. Just like Malcolm Jenkins, yeah, y'all got the NFL to move money around and put money into this pot to go to organizations within the black community to fight social issues, but that's not helping keep black people alive and safe from the police and police violence and unjust killings. The NFL, the most y'all could have done is just said, you know, I mean, yeah, where the money is the most the NFL could do too, but it's a lot of things that could have come from real organization that didn't happen. Because it was not organized, because nobody thought about being organized from the beginning. So here we are. And then Nike comes in, swoops in as the hero. So now, black people, don't be fooled. Don't go buy no damn new Nikes. Don't go buy no more Nike. Don't go support. Nike don't give a shit about black people. Nike found a way to make a 31% gain in their profits through their 30th anniversary ad by using Colin Kaepernick. And then Nike's like, well, we'd rather go out of business than have bigger supporters, which is a damn lie. Because Nike been having bigger support them for the longest. And Nike's never had a problem with racists supporting them. They've never had a problem with it. So don't tell me Nike got a problem with it now. What about all the other human rights violations and shit that Nike got going on? So all of a sudden, September 2018, Nike all of a sudden gives a shit about black people. Kiss my dick, man. Kiss my dick. Nike don't give a shit no more about black people today than they did 50 years ago, 20 years ago, whenever the fuck the company started. Right? Yes, cool. Cap got a job. Cap still getting paid. But this shit should have been organized from the get. And Nike, fuck out of here. Nike, y'all don't get no points. Y'all don't get no love. Y'all don't get nothing. Only the Negroes who are asleep will fall for it. But those of us who knows the warfare, those of us who know how to play chess at the chessboard. I read Sun Tzu. I read the 48 Laws of Power. I understand strategy. I understand the way the system of white supremacy works. How to sell, my brother Carl Tone Jones, he keeps circulating the video right now on the Facebook page, how to sell to the Negro. I'm going to do it my harmonica note. Kaepernick getting played. So it's the black community. We ain't going to fall for it. Because we ain't no fools. We got the blues. Hey, I'm glad Cap getting money, but Nike don't care about black people. Kaepernick is the figurehead for the 30th anniversary thing so Nike can get revenue because Nike realized that, damn, black people do spend money. Look at what happened with Wakanda. Look at what happened with Wakanda. You see how black folk went Wakanda crazy? So you mean tell me, If the moves we make black people feel good, they'll fuck with us and spend their money. Right. And Nike is a global brand. Nike is a global brand. So Nike's done their research, Nike's done their homework, and all of this is strategy. Nike ain't just decided to just pop up and do this. Nike put some real thought into this. This is some years of thought into this. So don't act like Nike coming to be our heroes. Nike, it's all about timing and everything, and Nike knew what they could do to help themselves, not hurt themselves. Fuck out of here, Nike. Y'all don't get no love for that. So, I mean, and let me make this clear. This is, none of what I'm saying is any slight against Kaepernick. It's no slight. But when we're talking about the movement not being organized, that's not slight. That's not criticism. That's just truth. It is. But none of what I'm saying is any slight, any tax against Kaepernick. It's all against Nike. Because Nike ain't slick. Nike don't give a shit about us. Nike don't give a shit about Cap. If Nike couldn't profit off of Kaepernick, they wouldn't be fucking with him. So Phil Knight and all the rest of you motherfuckers in Oregon, us black people who studied, we know what time it is. I just got through reading Black Label, White Wealth by Dr. Claude Anderson, which I recommend all you black people go read, Black Label, White Wealth. It breaks all this down. White people been using black label, black entertainment, black sports for long. You know what I learned by reading that book? Sports in America, especially in pertaining to black people, it started out as a way for white people to get a good laugh at black people. They had something called coon hunting, where they would put a scent on the black person, have the black person run away, sit the dogs on them, then go basically hunt them down and shoot them and kill them. Like black sports with black people had started off with white people getting a good laugh from black people. And then white people realized how athletically inclined black people were due to the way that they were breeding them through slavery, and then decided that, hey, well, since these Negroes can do all of this, let's make money off of them. That's how we get to where we are now, where black people being the dominant athletes, but white people are dominating the money. Black label, white wealth. Wow. But yeah, that's where we at with the Colin Kaepernick thing with Nike, and Nike ain't slick. Nike not going to get away with trying to act like they like black people when Nike don't like black people like that. Because Nike could have been said. Nike has never said anything. All the plight that's been going on with black people through the existence of Nike, and now all of a sudden Nike gives a shit. Fuck out of here, man. Fuck out of here. Don't fall for that shit. Don't fall for it. All right, let's keep the show moving. So, off-topic shit segment. Off-topic shit. European museums may loan back some works stolen from former colonies. Just that headline makes you say, what? Hey, loan back what you stole. All right. Nearly every Western European capital has a massive monolithic museum designed to project an image of national might and instill ordinary citizens to patriotic pride through expansive collections that stretch across time and place. In the seats of former colonial powers, these caverns of culture also reflect contested periods of history or colonized periods of history, they should say. They feature items stolen in dubious circumstances, stolen and plundered or outright taken, right, from African lands. And although the empires have long since collapsed, the objects have remained. Now, after decades of silence and even obfuscation on part of many European governments, some of the continent's leading cultural institutions are beginning to reevaluate colonial era artifacts, in some cases discuss returning them to the countries of origin under certain terms. Bitch, if you ain't gonna get them shits all the way back, your ass still a thief. Fuck you gonna loan? So, no, that's like somebody gonna come into my house, steal my TV, harbor my TV for 2 years, and then when I'm fighting for my TV back, and they finally say, you know what? It is your TV. I did steal it. But I let you get your TV back for 50 cents a week. Man, I slap you in your goddamn face. Get the fuck out of here, man. European museums, y'all tripping, man. The accelerated push began with the French President Emmanuel Macron, who proclaimed while in Burkina Faso in November that France would work towards the temporary or permanent restitution of African heritage to Africa. Yeah, we'll give you shit back if you pay for it. You got to pay us to get the shit back that we stole from you. As recently as March 2017, France had rejected efforts by Benin to reclaim thousands of objects looted in the 1800s from what is then the Kingdom of Dahomey, including royal thrones, scepters, and statues on display at the Musée du Quai Branly in Paris. The goods you mentioned have been integrated for a long time, some for more than a century, into the public assets of the French state. Government assisted in communique obtained by France's Liberation newspaper, their restitution is not possible. Macron elected in May 2017, signaling the shift. I cannot accept that a large part of cultural heritage from several African countries is in France. He said, African heritage cannot just be in European private collections and museums. But your ass ain't make no move to send the shit back, though. So you just talking, white boy, shut the fuck up. There's similar discomfort with Britain. The Victoria and Albert Museum in April staged an exhibit of objects, including a golden crown and chalice taken by the British Army from Ethiopia in 1868. Even at the time, the episode was regarded as a shameful one. The museum noted Ethiopia filed a claim for the artifacts in 2008 this year, and the V&A director floated return the objects under a long-term loan agreement, which is some fuck shit. That show you where white people really at. I keep trying to say racism is dying. No, it ain't, man. Look at the stuff I be talking about. It's raining outside. Germany, too, has joined the reevaluation and restitution push. The German lost Artifact Foundation established to support the investigations of Nazi looted art announced in April that it would expand its mandate to include artifacts from other colonies. In May, the German Museums Associated released a code of conduct to guide the research of possible restitution of colonial era objects. Bitch, that shit easy. Anything that's in your fucking museums in your country that you motherfuckers took from Africa, get that shit back. Why is that so fucking difficult? This shit ain't political at all. You stole the shit, give it back. Like, if I go in your house and I take something, you want your shit back. If I make you pay for your shit, then, hey, that show you I don't respect you. These Europeans don't respect these African countries. That's why they're putting them through this to give back the stolen artifacts. They keep talking about looted. Stop trying to use safe words. These crackers stole this shit from these black people centuries ago, and black people want their shit back. And you crackers are trying to come up with the best way of saying, we don't want to get y'all shit back. Come on. Why? Do you really want your stuff back? See, Brother Emmanuel, see, come in and preach to these Negroes. See, my brothers and sisters, the white man has taken our brains and messed our brains up. You see, they are telling us that they will loan us back stolen artifacts and try to convince us that that is a good policy, as if theft is okay. We cannot fall for the bullshit. The same thing with Serena Williams. Do not fall for the bullshit. But that's another topic for another day, because like the brother Joseph said, the white man keeps showing his hand and Serena keeps falling in love. So I don't know what to say about that. But when you steal, you will kill. And we know white people steal and kill. The white man has been the most destructive force that planet Earth has ever seen. And in this case, with these artifacts, what they are saying is, forget you, black people. We don't want to give you your shit back. And if you do want your shit back, you got to pay for it. And us black people are like, fuck you, honky. That's those African people's shit. Give them their shit back. You see, this is a political mind game that white America and white people and just global white supremacists like to play with African people. And see, that's why I remind you that white supremacy is global. And black people are looked at as less than across the globe. So never get confused with white people loving you for your culture. Because people around the world love black people for our culture, but they hate our fucking guts. Back to you, Brother Joseph. Back to you. That's Brother Man. He just wanted to drop that little piece off on y'all real quick. But yeah, man, that's going on. That's our off-topic shit, man. The European countries, they trying this, man. The European countries don't give a shit about black people, and they're looking for another way to profit off of them stealing from African people. That's a fucking shame. That's a shame. That's a shame. And they thought I wasn't going to talk about it. I'm going to talk about it. I'm going to talk about it. All right. We've been waiting for this for a long time. We've been waiting a long time. Football is back. Football back. All I got to say is football back. I say the football back. Ooh, football back. Well, all I got to say is that football is back. And I'm excited. I'm excited. I'm excited. I am excited. So, give y'all some scores from week one and week two for what happened in college football. You feels me? You feels me? If you feel me. So I'm going to start with Florida State University versus Samford. So week one, So week one, we had Delaware State. They lost to Buffalo, which they should, 10-48. Boise State beat Troy, 56-20. Richmond lost to Virginia, 42-13. Liberty beat Old Dominion, 52-10. Charlotte beat Fordham, 34-10. South Florida beat Elon, 34-14. Georgia Southern beat South Carolina State, 37-6. Marshall beat Miami of Ohio, 35-28. Of course, you know, I told you North Carolina A&T beat East Carolina. Jackson State lost to Southern Mississippi, 55-7. Toledo beat Virginia Marine Institute, 60-63. Arkansas State beat Southeast Missouri, 48-21. Indiana beat Florida International University, 38-28. Cincinnati beat UCLA, 26-17. Memphis beat Mercer 66-14. Nicholls State beat Kansas 26-23. Now, it's funny because I'm laughing because Kansas State actually just got a win this past Saturday as well, but they lost to Nicholls State. Tulsa beat Central Arkansas 38-27. Louisiana Tech beat South Alabama 30-26. Grambling State lost to Louisiana Lafayette 49-17. Kansas State beat South Dakota 27-24. Vanderbilt beat Middle Tennessee State 35-7. Mississippi State beat Stephen F. Austin, I think, 63-6. Northern Arizona beat UTEP 30-10. North Texas beat SMU 46-23. Michigan, the mighty Michigan, falls to Notre Dame 24-17. Michigan was supposed to have a good quarterback, but that quarterback did not have a good game, and Michigan's defense was, okay, right? Florida beat Charleston Southern 53-6, which is funny. Iowa State and San Diego State, the game was postponed due to weather. Oregon beat Bowling Green 58-24. Baylor beat ACU. I don't know who ACU is, but Oregon, Baylor beat them 55-27. Nebraska and Akron, that game was postponed. Alabama looking like the best team in the nation. Alabama got an offense. Alabama got an offense. That's all I want to say. Alabama got an offense, and wide receivers and running backs who can take that bitch to the house. This season might be over. Season might be over already. Alabama got an offense, and they beat Louisville 51-14. Tua looks good. Tua is a way better quarterback than Jalen Hurts. And Nick Saban has an affinity for Jalen Hurts because he's still trying to work him in. But I think Nick Saban has done Jalen Hurts a great disservice by either not convincing him to go to another school or change his position. So, but Alabama, number one team in the nation, they whooped Louisville week one, 51-14. New Mexico beat Incarnate Word 63-30. Fresno State beat Idaho 79-13. Arizona State, one time for Arizona State, they got Herman Edwards as the head coach. They beat University of Texas San Antonio 49-7. BYU beat Arizona 28-23. Navy lost to Hawaii 59-41. North Carolina A&T, like I told you, 28-23 over East Carolina. Miami lost to LSU 33-17. Florida State lost to Virginia Tech 24-3. They ain't put the Auburn game because Auburn beat Kansas. Not Kansas, but Washington. Auburn beat Washington in this game in week one as well. That was because SEC had pretty big wins week one. So week two, TCU beat, I watched this game, TCU beat SMU 42-12. Mississippi State beat Kansas State 31-10. Michigan beat Western Michigan 49-3. Wisconsin beat New Mexico 45-14. Oklahoma beat UCLA 21. Oklahoma look like they may be playing defense this year. So that's going to be interesting. Oklahoma actually do play defense. And Kyler Murray do look good out there, too. Oregon beat Portland State 62-14. Virginia Tech beat William & Mary 62-17. Ohio State beat Rutgers 52-3. Alabama beat Arkansas State 57-7. Georgia, who looked good, beat South Carolina 41-17. They were definitely the better team. Ball State lost to Notre Dame 16-24. Washington beat North Dakota 45-3. West Virginia with Will Grier back there slinging that thing at quarterback, looking like the best quarterback in college football. They won 52-17 over Youngstown State. Miami beat Savannah State 77-0. LSU beat Southeast Louisiana 31-0. UCF beat South Carolina State 38-0. Texas A&M lost to Clemson in a close game. Texas A&M almost won that game and lost to Clemson in a close one 26-28. Auburn beat Alabama State 63-9. And that Texas A&M game, man, Texas A&M going to be good. Jimbo Fisher got them boys ready to play. And they look way better than Florida State looked. So Penn State beat Pittsburgh 51-6. Oklahoma State beat South Alabama 55-13. Stanford beat USC 17-3. Boise State beat Connecticut 62-7. Arizona State with my dog Herm Edwards beat Michigan State 16-13. Washington State beat San Jose State 31-0, and Hawaii beat Rice 43-29. So games to look forward to coming up. You got Wake Forest, Boston College, Florida State, Syracuse. What's good games? What's the big games? You got Georgia Tech at Pitt. Vanderbilt, Notre Dame, that's going to be a good one to watch. Vanderbilt, Notre Dame, they're both undefeated. What do we have to look forward to? West Virginia, NC State, you can look at that. LSU, Auburn, damn sure the primetime game, probably. Most likely the primetime game. Colorado State and Florida. So, you know. Who else we got? Alabama playing Mississippi. The Alabama play Ole Miss. So that's the game to keep an eye on, even though Ole Miss going to get their ass whooped. Missouri and Purdue, just want to keep an eye on. Ohio State and TCU, want to keep an eye on. Texas at USC. That's about it. So, yeah, so that's college football. So, that's our college football update for week one and week two. Of course, you know, we're going to have more information and more to talk about football as the season goes. I can't believe we're in week two already, college football. We're in week one in NFL. The NFL season kicked off Thursday as the Eagles played the Falcons, and the Eagles came away with 18-12 victory over the Falcons, and people are criticizing Matt Ryan and the way he played. So, the 2018 NFL season kicked off after a 45-minute weather delay on Thursday night with the reigning Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles taking on the Atlanta Falcons. If you watched the first half, you wouldn't know these were two of the NFC's best teams in 2017. Penalty flags were constantly flying, but both teams' quarterbacks were shaky at best. In fact, Matt Ryan was downright bad. In the end, it was the Eagles who came away with an 18-12 victory. Let's take a look at some of the key numbers and stats from the first game, right? Matt Ryan had a pass rating of 57.4 and a terrible opening performance for the Falcons quarterback. He finished 21-43 for 251 yards, passing no touchdowns and one interception, according to SB Nation. Nick Foles had 117 passing yards. The Eagles only had 245 total yards. The number of red zone downs for the Falcons opening drive did not include Julio Jones on the field. The Falcons failed to score after going for it. So 4th-and-1. So they missed Steve Sarkisian as a signal caller. It was a horrible game. It wasn't a great game. Matt Ryan didn't look good. Nick Foles didn't look good. The Falcons didn't look good. The Eagles defense did look good. But the 18-12 victory for the Eagles over the Falcons. So the Eagles get off to a 1-0 start. Falcons start off in the hole. So hopefully get better. Hopefully get better for the Falcons. I don't really care. So we're going to see. I don't really care for the Falcons like that. You know, Falcons, because they're going to let you down. Why invest energy and time into the Falcons when you know they're going to let you down? So, but I am going to keep my eye on the Eagles defense because I do like good defense. So, yeah, man, football. Oh, yeah. Remember, the Raiders traded Khalil Mack to the Chicago Bears, which was an ignorant move, a crazy move. And I feel like John Gruden and the Raiders don't really want to win this year. And anything that happens to them bad, I feel like they brought it upon themselves, because they should keep your best player. They decided not to keep their best player. So, yeah. So, the Raiders chose to move on without star pass rusher Khalil Mack before the start of the regular season after sitting on the contract proposal from the All-Pro for over 6 months, a proposal that was actually cheaper than what the Bears quickly signed Mack for last week, according to a team source. Negotiations never progressed between the Raiders and Mack beyond the initial exchange of proposals shortly after the 2017 season concluded. Raiders officials commented after trading Mack to Chicago roughly a week ago, and they never came close to bridging the gap with Mack. "We made an offer," Coach Gruden said at the press conference following the trade. "I don't think it was anywhere close to the Bears' offer."
However, the record setting contract terms that Matt agreed to most ever for a non-quarterback, quickly besting the deal Aaron Donald had just signed for the Rams. Did not look familiar to the Raiders. Did not look unfamiliar to the Raiders. They were very similar in terms to the terms the team received from Mac's agent. Joe Siegel, a half a year. Nah, I just messed that up. They were very similar to the terms the team received from Mac's agent, Joe Siegel, a half a year ago. In fact, the Bears ended up spending more on the annual basis and a guaranteed basis than what the Raiders could have spent on Khalil Mack. So, what it is, $22.5 million per year that Donald got, that Aaron Donald got. So, what it is, it's $23 million a year, the overall contract. So, they ain't got the overall contract details in it. But the Raiders fucked up, and John Gruden fucked up. And right now, we're trying to see if John Gruden really know what he's doing. Right? All of the Raiders players are not happy with the move. But even the Raiders GM, like, man, we messed up. John Gruden got his head up his ass. I don't know, man. He was essentially the best defensive player in the league. Like, John Gruden can get his $100 million, but can't nobody else get paid. Right. I'm trying to find the actual contract numbers. For some reason, these articles are not giving me the actual numbers of the contract. Because I forgot what it was. But I do know John Gruden got his $100 million. He was acting like, I think, like 90-something. I don't remember the full details, the full numbers of the contract. I'm looking for it, and I can't find it. But Khalil Mack deserved to get paid. And John Gruden, he fucked up. I don't know. But we keep acting like John Gruden was a stellar coach when he left. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know. Let me hold up. K-A-L-I-L, Matt. Contract. Let me see what this is. Rams Wire. Aaron Donald made history when he signed the largest contract. God damn it, stop. Aaron Donald made history when he signed the largest contract ever for a defensive player, 6 years, $135 million with $87 million guaranteed. So that was Aaron Donald's contract. Yeah, $135 million with $87 million guaranteed. So Khalil Mack got 6 years, $141 million with $90 million guaranteed, which is great. I'm glad he got his number. I'm glad he got his money. John Gruden, you a dumbass. And anything bad that happens to y'all, I mean, you got to look at yourself. You got to look at yourself, John Gruden. You decided to put your ego ahead of your players. You just traded your best player away. So, hope Khalil Mack in Chicago balling out. And the Packers play the Bears tonight, I think, 8 o'clock. Not tonight, excuse me. The Packers play Bears Sunday night football. So, like I say, Friday's show, I will have all the complete NFL week one updates for y'all. So, as we're getting down to the end of our topics, Allie Raisman calls out United States Gymnastics for hiring a lady who was a defender of Larry Nassar. So U.S. Gymnastics announced that it was hiring Mary Lee Tracy as an elite development coordinator for its women's program. During the early stages of the Larry Nassar scandal being exposed, Tracy, a coach and owner of the Cincinnati Gymnastics Academy, spoke on Nassar amid the news that the coach had worked with children at her gym in the early 2000s, was found guilty of multiple sex crimes against children. Tracy defended Nassar in 2016. While she condemned that man, Ray Adams, in an interview with WCPO in Cincinnati, she spoke well of Nassar, who was later sentenced to 175 years in prison for serially abusing hundreds of young gymnasts over the course of several years. "My Olympians have all worked with Larry," Tracy told WCPO in the December 2016 interview. "We're all still defending him because he has helped so many kids in their careers." Yeah, he helped himself by touching their coaches. "He had protected them." No, he didn't. "Taking care of them." No, he didn't. "Work with them, work with me, and work with their parents." He's been amazing. He probably touched her too. She probably just said whatever to keep her job. At the time of Tracy's interview, more than 50 gymnasts and patients had accused Nassar of abuse. So Allie Raisman calls out the United States Gymnastics for associating with Tracy. When the news broke out that it was hired, that the gymnastics was hiring Tracy, Allie Raisman, a three-time Olympic gold medalist and one of Nassar's many victims, lashed out at the governing body for the decision. This is her tweet. Everybody lashing out via Twitter. "U.S. Gymnastics has appointed someone who, in my view, supports Nassar victim shame survivors and has shown no witnesses to learn from the past. This is a slap in the face for survivors and further confirmation that nothing at United States Gymnastics has changed. What a profound disappointment." So, Raisman, will you stop being a gymnast, or will you still continue to go with United States Gymnastics? I don't know. Mary Lee Tracy is the new elite development coordinator for the women's program. Raisman also retweeted the post, reminding the gymnastics of Tracy's statement and how many people had accused Nassar when she made it. So that's what happened with Raisman and Raisman going off. And she's been very, 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 very vocal about things that's going on with the domestic violence and all these things with these players. With these gymnasts, like I say, at the end of the day, man, it's still a lot more we need to learn about this stuff overall. And a lot of people need their ass whooped. A lot of people need their ass whooped in this case. A lot of people need their ass whooped. So, yeah, man, that's what that is. So, Allie Raisman, keep calling motherfuckers out. I just hope that everything with you is uniform, that your actions and everything is lining up with what you're calling out, because we don't want to be like that one lady who was calling out people, the actress, the white actress who was calling people out for the Me Too movement, but end up finding pictures of her in the bed with a 17-year-old boy. I'm not saying Allie Raisman is going to do that. I just hope Allie Raisman, being as vocal as she is, isn't hiding anything in her closet. So, cause that would be bad for what's going on. So in the world of sports, man, those things were going on. So, you know, it's time for our Monday rant. It's aimed at the white boy who shot up the Madden tournament and Florida State fans. So the white boy who shot up the Madden tournament, you a loser. And you deserve the harshest of punishment. You fucking loser. And why every time these white boys go on mass killing sprees, they're always met with he got a mental issue. If you're not white and you kill somebody, your ass going to jail. Or you might get killed yourself. But if you're white and you kill somebody and you don't kill yourself, you got a mental issue. Bullshit. Because the white man knows how to protect their own. See. Brother Emmanuel, I have learned that white people, no matter what, will go out of their way to defend white supremacy. Their whole job is to maintain the system of white supremacy. They will do anything that they need to do, even defending this sucker-ass white boy who shut up the Madden tournament. I'm gone. Three people died and 11 others were wounded Sunday after a shooting rampage during the Madden. It wasn't past Sunday, but it was a couple Sundays ago during the Madden 19 video game tournament in downtown Jacksonville. Jacksonville Sheriff's Office said the lone shooter, who believed to be David Katz, who was 24, he's from Baltimore and was aiming and was among the dead and taking his own life. Fuck him, coward. While authorities had not released the names of the two shooting victims, multiple media outlets, including Florida Today of the USA Today Network, reported they were Tyler Robertson, 27, of Ballard, West Virginia, and Eli Clayton, 22, of Woodland Hills, California. Sheriff Mike Williams said 9 of the injured were taken to hospital, 7 with gunshot wounds, 2 others sought hospital care on their own. I'm happy to report they're in stable condition at this time, said Williams, who declined to discuss a motive for the shooting. Witnesses describe a flurry of gunshots in the gaming room located in the back of the Chicago Pizza, the sports grill, followed by a stampede of people rushed to escape. Raheem Johnson of Jacksonville was working at the pizzeria at the time of the shooting. He caught a glimpse of the shooter, whom he describes as a young male of average build, firing to the crowd with a large caliber handgun supporting a laser sight attachment. Cause he a bitch. He brought that gun. Why do you have your gun at the Madden tournament unless you plan to shoot that shit up? Right? I just heard shots and I looked at the window and I see him. Josh said, dude came in there basically like to kill. Basically, he was just in his rampage mode. Right. Johnson barricaded himself and some customers in the kitchen and grabbed 2 knives, adding, if you come to this kitchen, you're bound to get stabbed. That's funny. A live feed from the tournament was underway when the shooting took place, and the audio feed was interrupted by the sound of several gunshots. I saw that live feed. White House spokeswoman Sarah Sanders said President Donald Trump had been briefed and was monitoring the situation. Florida Governor Rick Scott said Trump called him and offered federal help, any federal help he needed. Bitch, ain't no federal help needed. Scott, who was preparing to fly to Jacksonville from his home in Naples, also spoke with Mayor Lenny Curry and other Jacksonville officials, according to Scott's spokesperson. Tonight, Jacksonville is mourning. We have faced an occurrence that is all too common. It will require us to continue to do hard work, public office safety, and to make sure people are safe. That white boy ain't shit, man. Fuck that white boy. That white boy went in there planning on shooting up that tournament. Why are you bringing a gun to a fucking Madden tournament unless you plan on shooting that bitch up? So from my understanding, he was losing and he decided to shoot the tournament up. But to me, it's deeper than that. He plans on shooting that tournament up before it happened. So that ain't no goddamn mental issue. That white boy planned on killing motherfuckers. That white boy should be dead from, he should either be dead from them killing him, or he should be in jail getting fucked right now. Put his ass in general population and let them jump the shit out of him every fucking day at 3 o'clock, white boy. You getting fucked and jumped. What type, like, it's crazy how white people will go out of their way to harness and harbor terrorists, especially terrorists who resemble their own. But at the same time, they're organized. White people this is the result of organization, black people. Black people, this is the result of organization and having real power and real control but being organized. See, we don't understand organization in our community. So that's why when a black person kills somebody, that black person going to jail. It's pretty much over. But when a white person kills somebody, oh, my brothers and sisters, it is mental illnesses in America. So that means all white people have mental illnesses, even though black people, it's been documented, it's a scientific fact that black people, all black people in America suffer from PTSS, post-traumatic stress syndrome. All black people in America suffer from post-traumatic slave syndrome. Post-traumatic slave syndrome is a common syndrome that black people face at the hands from the hands of white supremacists who continue to, well, for one, they oppressed us and they enslaved us, chattel slavery for 400 years, and then the systems that they maintain, Jim Crow, redlining, all these different things that white people continue to do today, mass incarceration, still now, the killings, the impunitive killings of black people, right? All of these things
continue to happen to black people in America. So we know, it's documented, that black people have PTSS, post-traumatic slave syndrome. Black people suffer from mental illnesses. Black people probably suffer from mental illnesses at a higher rate than white people. We just don't deal with them the same way as white people because we are traumatically stressed out on a daily basis. But when white people kill people, they get off as if it is just a mental illness. No, that white boy went in there with the intention of killing people. He intended on killing those people. That's why you go into a Madden tournament with a gun with laser sights on it. Who takes a gun into a football tournament? Look. I've played football in some of the hoodest tournaments, like some of the most uncouth people ever. And see, this is why I be telling black folk, look, we fucked up, but we're more human than white people. We're not the same as white people. Because we can face all types of bullshit and not shoot up everything. Like black people, we should be shooting up shit every day. If it's like that, the same way that white people get away, we should be shooting up shit every day, but we don't. Why? Because we don't have a thirst for blood like white people do. White people are killers. White supremacists are killers. They're terrorists. Their whole MO is to wipe shit out, kill, dominate, kill, 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 blood, kill, 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 kill. Things don't go your way, you kill. That's how America got here. They're all about killing white supremacists, people who support white supremacy and all the insane white ideas. They're all about killing. They're all about death and destruction. If I can't get my way, I'm going to kill you. That's why, going back to all these white people calling the police on black people, that's why they be calling the police on black people. When shit don't go their way, they call the police on black people. Like, it was a video floating around now of some white dude in a parking lot ran up on a pregnant black woman trying to fight her. Then the OG ran up on dude. OG pulled his pistol out on dude first and was like, man, I shoot the shit out. Well, he ain't say that, but I know in the mind, he was like, man, I shoot the shit out your cracker ass. And then the white dude was like, put your gun away. Then the white dude was talking shit. And the white dude got mad because he couldn't exert dominance over the black woman. He couldn't, and he physically couldn't dominate the black dude, so he got mad. And the white dude balled his fist up and threw one of the weakest punches that a man could ever throw. And he hit the black dude in the stomach, and the black dude punched his ass in the eye. Then the white dude played victim, and good thing the whole altercation was recorded, because if it wasn't recorded, the black dude would probably be on his way to jail by now, because the white dude started everything. This cracker tried to run up on a pregnant black woman and assert physical dominance over her. So shout out to the OG brother for standing up for him. But that's what I'm talking about. The white dude, the reason why I'm bringing this up is because I'm going back to the lack of accountability and responsibility that white males have when it comes to everyday life. The white dude really, in his mind, believed that the black man and the black woman was in the wrong for standing up for themselves and not just allowing him to exert his dominance over them. He was literally floored, like, oh, I can't believe this is happening. You all are stopping me from being the type of white man I want to be, right? And he got mad, which resulted to him choosing physical violence. But the problem is, he's like one of the weakest white men ever, right? Now, if I guarantee you, if that white man would have killed that lady or anybody else, guess what they would have said? Mental illness. Same thing with this punk-ass cracker at this Madden tournament. I wish they could grab his soul, put it back in his body, wake his punk-ass back up, and kick him in his motherfucking chest. Because he got the easy way out. He got a chance to shoot up a Madden tournament and get an easy way out. Oh, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, yeah. He was mentally ill. He has mental illnesses. White people just conveniently have mental illnesses after mass killings. That, my friends, is so hilarious. That is so hilarious that these are the things that happen, that this is the way it turns out. That's why we need to start understanding the system of white supremacy and understanding what's going on to us and around us. White people don't give no shits about us. And until we start to give a shit about ourselves and start protecting ourselves and start understanding what's going on with us, we're going to keep dying at the hands of white people. We're going to keep being dominated at the hands of white people. We're going to keep begging white people for our shit. We're going to keep needing white people to give us some for what we need. Serena wouldn't have to go through none of that that these white folk got her going through if black people would just develop our own tennis corporations or even take over the tennis shit. But get organized and put the right people in the right places to make the right moves and take over this whole sports shit. All right, the last chapter in the book, Black Label, White Wealth, if you read the last chapter in the book, it's talking about how to create vertical corporations, vertical businesses within the realms of entertainment and sports. That way black people can monopolize off of sports. Hell, we dominate football, baseball, basketball, and boxing are the sports that we dominate as far as players. White people dominate those sports as far as money and revenue and ownership. Not one black person is a majority owner of an NFL team. Magic Johnson is a part of an ownership group for the MLB. Michael Jordan is the majority owner of the Charlotte Bobcats. That's all we got. That's all we got. So we got to do a better job. Got to do a better job. But taking it back to this Madden tournament, boy. Yeah. How the hell did he get into the tournament with the gun? Let me tell you, they don't do no gun checks. They don't do no firearm checks at these tournaments. All these crazy-ass chronic masturbators that be coming to these tournaments. Man, y'all know these boys don't get no coochie. Y'all know these boys don't have no real outlets. Y'all know these boys fucked up. Y'all know these boys lame. Most of these dudes that be at these tournaments. Y'all have no security. These dudes, you know, might nut up. They had no real social interaction. They're social ingrates. They're socially messed up. That's how you get this crazy motherfucker shooting up the goddamn Madden tournament, man. Oh, yeah. He's mentally ill. His mental illness is being white. Let's say that. His mental illness is being a white person. It got to be. His mental illness can't be just regular men. It got to be being a white person, a white supremacist, a white terrorist, or whatever you want to call it. And then his superpower is being able to get off because they say he got a mental issue. All right, whatever. So the second part of this Monday rant, getting all my days mixed up already. It's just episode one, getting all my days mixed up. Second part of this weekly rant, this Monday rant, is Florida State fans who turn on Willie Taggart. I was waiting on this to happen. As soon as they start putting out the videos of them playing like music in the rooms and showing them dancing on the field, I already knew white folk was waiting on it. Like, it's two games into the season and they want Willie Taggart fired already. I read something the other day, the white man talking about this ain't no tradition. It ain't our tradition. We're the Tigers going against our tradition. Like, bitch, you ain't build shit. Set your cracker ass up to my tradition. Let me read this to you. This from one of them crackers from warchant.com. It says, tradition is what endears a fan base to a school. Without it, you have no identity. Fans want to be a part of something they, their parents, their children, and the community at large identify with over time. First of all, you motherfuckers need to get a fucking life. Y'all need to get a life. If we ain't family until we identify over football. Shut up, bitch. Turning FSU into a back. Listen to what they're saying. And turning FSU into a backyard ghetto party scene with rappers pre-game breakdancing and guest rappers doing practices is not the right direction. Basically, he's saying, y'all niggering this whole FSU school up. Now, they don't have a problem with the niggas catching the footballs, running the footballs, scoring footballs, and all those things there. But you can't do your nigger stuff before the game. You can't niggerize this whole FSU thing. We don't have a problem with you niggers being at FSU, but you just can't niggerize FSU football, right? Right. So, think you would see this crap at Notre Dame, Alabama, Ohio State, etc. Total Bush League. You want that? I pay for an Uber to take you down the street. Basically, what they're saying when he say that is, he'll pay for an Uber to take Willie Taggart on over to FAMU and get down with this Jigaboo stuff over at FAMU. So if I find out who this cracker is, you know, I'm going to call him out by name because this cracker clearly lives in Tallahassee. So, you know, I want to see this cracker. But I like my tradition coaching football the way it is, where it has been. It's the house that Bowden built. Don't come in here and burn it to the ground. Go build your own damn house. Too bad administrators are weak. Are weak-hearted pansies with a never-ending guilt complex. Now, see, I hate crackers like this. I hate crackers like this because, first of all, don't hide behind no keyboard. Second of all what he's doing is espousing the sentiments of all these other crackers. That's one of the reasons why I really didn't want Willie Taggart to come to Florida State, because I knew exactly what he was going to go through. They threw Jimbo Fisher under the bus, and Jimbo Fisher won a national championship. These white folks turned their back on him. So I knew they weren't going to give Willie one chance. I knew they weren't going to give him no edge. And now they're basically saying he's niggered the whole thing up. You know what? Florida State don't deserve a coach like Willie Taggart. But I want to see Willie win. I want to see Willie win. So I hope Willie turn this around. And then because if it was me, I save all this shit. I save it. I say, and when we start winning, I'm calling motherfuckers out by name. Nah, cracker, don't rock with us now. Don't rock with us now that we winning. Remember, you didn't like me niggering this whole stuff up, right? Because if Willie Taggart and FSU would have beat Virginia Tech, none of this would have been said. Nobody would have said none of this. Hell, the offensive line was trash 4 years ago under Jimbo Fisher. It's going to take Willie Taggart time to get his players into the system. But the offensive line, which is the worst part of FSU's offense, was trash 4 years ago under Jimbo Fisher. And it's still trash now. Right? So I told you in the beginning I really didn't like the West Coast fast-paced offense and all those things there. But don't sit here and act like Willie Taggart just can't coach. But basically what they're saying is come into this and be like these white coaches. Don't nigger this stuff up. Don't relate to the players. No, your mostly black team, don't relate to your mostly black team. Nigger this. Don't nigger this stuff up. Be like these good white coaches. Yeah. You wouldn't see this at Ohio State because they're busy covering up domestic violence, right? You wouldn't see this at Alabama because they're too busy over there doing what they're doing in Alabama. But, nah, let the one... The black man, they stumble out of the gate. Notre Dame ain't been good in how long? Right? Notre Dame ain't been good in how long? It's my Alabama. Shut up, man. Ohio State. Yeah, all right, they over there covering up domestic violence up in Ohio State, but you don't want to talk about that, Mr. Cracker, man. TESC starter. I wish I could find who posted that, talking about the administration. Some pansies with a guilt complex. After one loss? This is the rhetoric. Basically, this crack in the night where he said, Willie Taggart come down here and niggering stuff up and messing up the program after one loss. Wow. Fuck y'all crackers. See, this is why I keep saying what I'm saying about y'all fans. Fuck y'all fans. Because I went to the Florida State Virginia Tech game. I was at the game. I was in the stands. And I kept saying it. It was midway through the third quarter. Florida State was in the game. Florida State was making hella mistakes, but they were still in the game. They had a chance to win the game. It's not like Florida State got blew out. It's not like Willie Taggart just totally didn't have his players prepared. Florida State, their offensive line was garbage. Florida State got beat. Virginia Tech was the better team. But it wasn't like they were just totally unprepared. Florida State just that day wasn't that day. It wasn't that day. But I'm walking down the street. I'm walking down Lake Bradford Street I'm on Stadium Drive. Stadium Drive is the street right in front of FSU Stadium. I'm walking down Stadium Drive to walk toward Lake Bradford to get back to my car. And these two black dudes walking behind me to my man, Willie Taggart make me mad. I want to put these hands on Willie Taggart. Man, I started to turn around and say, fuck you, bitch. Fuck you. You ain't going to put no hands on nobody because they lost one game. You want to fight the coach now?
Oh, I bet you 2 weeks ago Willie Taggart dick was all down your throat. That's the problem. That's why I don't like these fan bases, man. Man, look, if we want something that our family can be a part of, go have a picnic. Why don't you build family culture? We want to be a part of football, man. That's because, hey, look, black label, white wealth. These white folk get a kick out of watching the little niggas run around the field. Hey, man, look, I told you this is the realest and the blackest show. It's season 3, and we keeping it real. We ain't stopping. Look, man, these white folk love to see niggas running around these fields, just catching the ball, doing all these things, and doing what they want to do, making them feel good. As soon as you make a white, you're not making a white person feel good, you are the problem. Because if they don't feel good, you the problem. Fuck you, Florida State fans. Fuck you, you college football fans, and all you ones who quit to turn your back on our own coaches, especially black coaches. Especially black coaches. And I'd be even more disappointed in you black people. You black people who be on the coach dick 1 minute, then the next minute you, fuck him. He ain't good. He don't know what he's doing. Fuck it. I knew this was coming. And guess what? I'm on record for saying that I didn't like the offense. I didn't like the offense, how it exposes the offensive line. I'm on record of saying that. But I'm not on record for hating on Willie Taggart. I'm not on record for being a fucking a shifter and a jumper and somebody. Well, he ain't make me feel good. I hate that shit, man. I hate that. That's why I would not allow somebody to call me no fan, no irrational fuckboy. That's what a fan is, an irrational fuckboy or irrational pussyhole. That's what fans are. Y'all make me fucking sick. Smell like pussy. Smell like a bunch of bullshit. That's what y'all do. Y'all make me mad, man. Woo! This is a good way to start season 3 off. Going in on you chumps. Going in on you chumps. Hey, man, I'm Joseph Ward. This is the Fix Sports Podcast. And we're coming stronger and stronger and stronger in season 3. And we ain't letting it up. Because we're going to make sure we make y'all think more in season 3. We're going to make sure we make you all think more. We're giving you all this sports shit. We're going to make you think in season 3. We're going to make sure you understand the system of white supremacy even more and how it affects us and how it just permeates all throughout the world of sports. And when we don't make white people feel good, it's our fault. Black people ain't shit when white people don't feel good. So, you know how it go, man. Fuck that. Black people, we rise, let's empower each other, let's stay on top of each other, let's keep supporting each other, let's keep loving each other. Let's do a better job of loving and supporting each other. Let's build our own institutions. Let's build our own leagues. Serena Williams didn't have to go through that Saturday if she was in a black-owned tournament. These black players, these black athletes don't have to go through a lot of these things if we have black-owned leagues, black-owned collegiate levels, black-owned professional level, black-owned high school level. Support the JBA. Support the Junior Basketball Association, LeVar Ball's League. Support the JBA. Support the 3-on-3. Even though half of it is owned by a white boy, at least Cube is part owner. Support that shit. Support the 3-on-3. Support the JBA. Those should be the leagues that we put most of our energy into. At least they got black ownership. Fuck these all white-owned leagues. Fuck that. They don't give a shit about us, especially when we're not making them feel good. Hey, man, this is the Fix Sports Podcast. I am Joseph Ward. This is season three of y'all. And we out, man. Two fingers in the air because we just don't care.
I call the president. President, we need the National Guard. We need as many men as you can spare because we are killing the Patriots. So call the dogs off. Send the National Guard, please. They need emergency help.
That ball hit hard. Stretch. Austin Jackson back looks up. You can put it on the board. Yes. Back to back Jack. And it is 4-1.
I'm the best ever. I'm I'm the most brutal and vicious and most ruthless champion there's ever been. There's no one can stop me. Lynx is a conqueror. No, I'm Alexander. He's no Alexander. I'm the best ever. There's never been anybody ruthless. I'm Sonny Liston. I'm Jack Dempsey. There's no one like me. I'm from Nassau. There's no one that can.